strikes, and we witches three gather once again down the dark path, past sort of a weird-looking boulder, through the trees that are, like, crooked, and if you look at them wrong, they look like the big old monsters, and so it's like, hurry!
Yeah, but that sounds scary.
Okay. Yes, very scary. We get all the way down to our little witch's nook. We gather round the cauldron, our hats askew because of the anticipation of the spells we're going to cast. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we raise our most magical hairbrushes and we...
Oh, no. Okay, so listen, here's the thing. The hairbrush...
Yes.
Like, I get how you're going. It's a wand, first of all. But the hairbrush, like, it has the top part, but then it has the bristles coming down.
Oh, yes. You know, like very that. Good. I love the way it feels against my scalp.
Yeah, no, I know. But, like, wands don't have that. They don't have things hanging off of them, like tassels or whatever.
Here's the thing. If you're, like, singing if karaoke, you use a hairbrush, sure. It's like, haha, this is fun.
Oh, yeah.
This is like
you put the lime and the coconut and chicken all around.
What is happening?
You know what I mean?
It's
practical
like a
magic, man.
Practical
Watch
magic.
A movie once in a while. I'm
Watch
Alex.
A movie, witch.
Hey, you're watching. You're not watching anything. You're listening to Chilling Podcast of Sabrina. We're going to be talking about Chapter 31, The Weird. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it.
We sure do.
We do.
What a great time to be alive. This is the third episode
is
of
it?
The final part of Sabrina. Oof. It's a countdown now. We have a limited number of episodes here, which is exciting, but also very sad. But we're going to get into it. And I'm going to do a very brief recap of what's happened so far since everything. Real simple, real easy to understand. Doesn't take too
so
much time.
So simple.
I mean, I'll tell you, actually... So far, I like how this part is keeping everything pretty simple and straightforward.
It is. It's like
it's
very cleanly structured. Like each episode, it's literally Monster of the Week. That's quite literally what it is.
Which is crazy. I mean, it kind of leaned into that in the first couple of episodes, and then very much got away from there. I will say my personal preference, I loved part three. Part three was great because it was just this wild, nonstop.
You were talking about season three?
Part three, a roller coaster ride of a story.
Yeah.
Love that so much. But this is fun. Like, it's a nice change of pace. I do hope it starts coming together soon. But I enjoy the Monster of the Week. I'm a fan. So that all said, those Monsters of the Week are the Eldritch Terrors that are invading Greendale. They are not exactly being brought there by Father Blackwood, but certainly being interacted with Father Blackwood, who's acting as their herald right now.
He summoned them.
Yeah, for some of them. We had
he's
the darkness.
Them.
Well, I don't know if he summoned them. I think they're showing up and he's like, they're here.
No. He did this whole spell and brought them all here.
He's taking some credit.
Right. He cracked an egg. Like, if you cracked an egg and then an omelet showed up, I wouldn't be like, you made the omelet.
Where have you guys been when an omelet just showed up? Or you're like, what's
a
this?
Diner.
an unexpected place. So you're like, look at this, an omelet just showed up.
Dorney Park.
I think it was a fish concert where I saw an omelet walk by and I was like, huh, you don't see that every day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's a famous, a lot of fish songs focus on omelets because their songs are about anything, right?
Yeah.
They're just kind of like whatever they see. It's like an improv show.
100%. And then an omelet showed up. Bam, bam, doop, doop, doop,
bam. So, Eldritch Terrors are showing up in Greendale. They're all very terrifying, particularly to Ambrose, who is trying to figure out how to stop them, thanks to some pictures that Harvey drew after a boning session with Roz last episode.
Yeah. Sexual artist Harvey Kinkle. He's like the Sting of Greendale.
Meanwhile, Sabrina is pretty much in a funk because she doesn't have a boyfriend. Everybody else is in a relationship except for her.
Well, and she's lonely. Her friends are busy doing other stuff on both sides. It's not even just, I think the relationship is the easy go-to, but I think, and as we learned this episode, it's like she just doesn't have a lot filling her up right now. Her aunts are busy.
You want to talk about busy? Theo couldn't even show up this episode. She was so busy. Or he was so busy.
Where's Theo at?
Yeah, I don't know where Theo was this episode, or Robin. That was a little interesting. Kind of weird not to see them here. But at the same time, Sabrina made a, I think, unobjectively terrible decision last episode to make her own boyfriend out of a candle, which we see the ramifications of this episode. Hold on, we'll talk about Candle Boy in a second.
Okay, because...
Candle Boy!
I had a real emotional roller coaster with Candle Boy. Like, I was very angry. She created Candle Boy, but then when she pulled the plug on him, it was a little sad to see Candle / Carrot Mold guy go.
I am getting a seer vision of an hour from now when we ask who which reigns supreme this episode and Pete is saying Candle Boy. It's very weird.
I gotta go with Candle Boy. I mean, this guy came out of nowhere. He grew so big in my mind over the course of the episode.
So she decides to make a boyfriend out of a candle. We've kind of already talked about the whole character arc of that and what happens this episode. Meanwhile, Hilda got married last episode, and as we find out, this episode has moved out of the house, which is very frustrating for Zelda. Caliban, down in hell, he got married to Sabrina Morningstar because there's two Sabrinas. That doesn't actually affect this episode too much, but just kind of a thing you probably want to know. And meanwhile, Lilith, who is the queen of hell, or regent of hell, I guess, at this point is her technical title, is also pregnant with Lucifer's baby, which was kind of her trump card holding over Lucifer, so he did not kill her last season. And I kind of think that's all you probably need to know to get into it.
There's also two, if we're saying there's two Sabrinas, there's two Liliths as well.
Yes, there's Miss Wardwell is working with the Pilgrims of the Night Church, who are run by Father Blackwood. She does not interact with Lilith at all. They don't seem to really know about each other necessarily yet, which is weird. But everybody has their own double in the show. That's just kind of how it works.
Right.
And we should also say Roz, while part of the human side of things, has the magic power of the cunning.
Yes.
Which is something that was given generationally in her family.
So we kick it off, as teased in the last episode, with the weird entering. It's two nights ago in a decrepit, drowning body that is just withering away to the Pilgrims of the Night Church. He's very dismissive of Father Blackwood, saying he is too weak to be his body. He wants Sabrina Spellman. I love this setup. This is just the perfect Father Blackwood burn right at the top of the episode.
Yeah, fully agree.
I hope moving forward this continues. I would love top of the episode, get a couple Blackwood zingers in there and then start the app. I like that.
Yeah. It's just a good motivation for him. It also sets up the stakes of everything. And it turns it very specifically onto Sabrina, which we haven't really seen with his plotline yet. Like, his thing has been about destroying the entire universe, the Earth, and whatever. But this brings it home and makes it more personal, which I think is fun and cool, and turns him from the guy who's scribbling aimlessly to somebody who has a very direct mission.
Bring it home.
Yeah, and then we turn it over to the Spellman house. Ambrose is checking out of the body. Something slithers out, which we find out later is the weird. It's a cephalopod.
You see, Ambrose, you got to keep your eye on any mouthworms.
And there was like hope because he was like taking notes and kind of he could have looked at the body to see that brain squid looking thing crawl out, but no, totally missed it.
This is very much jumping ahead in the episode, but since we're talking about cephalopods, we get a lot of pictures of them. There's a lot of octopus stuff going on in this episode. I'll tell you why, since they're leading into the whole Lovecraft thing very much this episode in particular. I went to the aquarium a couple of weeks back, and they have a new spineless exhibit there here in New York. And they had cuttlefish there, which I had never seen before. Those things look like little fucking swimming Cthulhus. It is insane.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, they talk about it when the dusty old biology professor's getting into it, but like there's a whole like side of science. It's like octopi and squid are the biggest sign of alien life. Like they're unrelated to so many of the evolutionary chain. They're weird. They may be hyper intelligent.
One of there's like this one like jellyfish that's like immortal or something. There's a lot of crazy stuff in the water, but I think that was such a random...
You first heard that at the fish concert, right?
There's a lot of crazy stuff in the water.
It's Pahish. It's Pahish.
Wolfman's brother.
I was just like, they were just like, yeah, and octopuses are aliens. Anyway, moving on. I was like, wow, that was just a random fact to just drop right there.
And I'll also mention, this doesn't have to do with cephalopods, but you mentioned the biology teacher. The biology teacher is an actor named Mackenzie Gray, who played, can you figure it out? Do you know?
Nope.
Dr. Kirtle on Riverdale.
There was a lot of Riverdale shout outs on this app.
There is. Well, two. There's one shout out, I guess.
They say the word Riverdale.
He goes to Riverdale, but also they find the body in Sweetwater River, which is where Jason drowned.
That's true. So maybe it was like Jason, actually.
I was like, man, a lot of people drowned in that sweet water.
So tasty.
They were probably like, he was right next to that charred corpse.
Yeah.
It's just
floating. There's a dam that's just a bunch of corpses clogging it up. We go poke the corpses out of the way so the water can keep flowing.
Yes. And if you think a dam that some beavers have made out of corpses is not potentially a Riverdale plot, you should watch Riverdale more closely.
We've got to get these corpse Sabrina, beavers.
So Sabrina makes Candleboy, puts him in the tub. This is maybe more of an overall thing about the episode. And I know you wanted to talk about Candleboy, Pete.
Candleboy!
It is... The structure of this episode is so weird and interesting to me because...
Isn't it weird?
Correct me if I'm wrong. I definitely felt like you get this Candleboy. He's growing larger the entire episode. When Lucas shows up later out of the science classroom, I was like, oh, that's Candleboy.
That's what I thought too.
100%. And then it wasn't. He was a regular human boy.
Random boy.
And then I was like, okay, so what's going to happen with this Candleboy?
And then she wakes up in the tub looking at Candleboy.
And then they just flush him down the drain. At the end, I thought there was going to be so much more with Candleboy.
And I thought, like, oh, there's this, like, squid thing running around. Good thing she made this, like, dude who can sacrifice himself for Sabrina. I thought, like, Candleboy was going to save the day and, like, the squid was going to eat him or something like that. But, man, it just, Candleboy was such a non-issue.
Do you think Candleboy was going to start to look more like a real boy? Or is he just going to be a big old red man?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Keep me away from the fire.
My shout out to the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina props department, who started with that tiny little Candleboy, and then the last almost full size Candleboy has a like barely defined penis and scrotum.
I saw that penis in some junk there.
You know what I mean?
I feel like a lot of the growth of Candleboy at that time was really focusing on the penis.
Yeah. That actually develops like last, right? In humans?
And penis first. I grew from a penis into a man. I grew out of the penis.
God, that explains so much.
That's why people are like, you're such a dick. I'm like, yes, yeah, technically.
Poor wife.
Correct. Candleboy, again, weird non-entity, very weird thing. I wish there was a little more with him, or maybe there'll be more with him coming up. But it was just such a strange, fun, but strange thing. Another fun thing immediately after that, I mentioned this before, but at breakfast, Zelda super frustrated that Hilda isn't there to do what she wants.
Crazy. Such a great,
crazy, but such a fun bit.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
And it's all like it was all there for her. Like Hilda, before she left, like put her cigarette next to her paper and next to her coffee. She's like, where? It was really funny.
Yeah, it's great. I like that. Overall, there was just like a weird, interesting tone. I mean, it's called the weird, but like.
Yeah, there you go.
I expected it to be more 60s psychedelic based on the images we got at the end of the last episode. It wasn't necessarily that at all.
I would say not at all.
Yeah, but it was quirky. I was just going to say down to Ambrose's speech to the coven, which was the same sort of thing where he's like, we have all this information. I don't know what to do with any of this.
Yeah, I didn't get to finish my speech because shit started to go off.
But I also think what I noticed about this episode is the structure is not that of a Monster of the Week episode like we're talking about. It really is the whole season as a piece. Like, they don't remind us about Candleboy. We just you know, 10 minutes into the, 8 minutes into the episode, whatever, cut into the scene where she's making the candle boy. Like, it's all flowing together in a way where the structure starts to deviate, I think.
Also, speaking of weird things, like, it was a cool episode for Roz, which was great, but that third eye was freaking me out. Like, that was really, like, seeing Roz rocking the third eye was kind of like reminded me of that Cyclops from the Crawl movie. It was kind of it was like
what?
It was wait, kind what of just the movie Crawl where they had a Cyclops.
Oh, Crawl.
Yeah.
Oh, Crawl. Yeah. I thought you were saying Crawl.
No.
Yeah, I thought Crawl. You were saying Crow, like the movie The Crow.
Oh right. Man, great movie.
Yeah, Crawl also a very good movie.
Yeah, yeah. Famous, famously good.
Yeah. Anyways, I felt like this was a good Roz episode. But, you know, you have to feel bad for a Harvey because every girl he falls in love with eventually has to say, hey, listen, I'm a witch. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You got to type Harvey and it's witches.
Yeah. He's a witch widower. Yeah. I do think that it's very funny that Roz is repeating the same pattern of not telling Harvey about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting pattern.
And it's also interesting, we get a couple, I know in our previous episodes this season, we've talked about how it's over for Kinkle and Nick Scratch when it comes to Sabrina. This episode, we get some signs of life from both, I felt like.
Yeah.
We get Harvey Kinkle, we meet Lucas Hunt, who mm-hmm. is not a candle boy, but a fleshy man, swimmer, seems like a very cool dude.
The way they set that up, that he's a swimmer, and then there's all this squid stuff, I was like, oh, man. If he's not the candle boy, then he's definitely part squid or something.
And it just happened it was a very aquatic episode.
It was.
But I do think, are swimmers sought after in as like, ooh, he's so cool, he's a swimmer?
I think maybe sought after, like, oh, athletic, like, does something like athletic fit. Type of thing.
Because I got to say, in my college, we didn't have swimming in my high school.
Well, really?
Yeah. Grew up in the country.
Wait, Pete, you had swimming at your high school?
Yeah.
Huh. No, I did not as well.
Yeah. It's too fancy. Pool.
Yeah.
Well,
we swam in creeks.
We had a giant school, so they kind of like had different sports for people.
Where'd you go? The school from Gossip Girl?
Yeah, Mr. Big Time Beverly Hills 90210 over here.
Yeah.
Who'd you go to school with? Surrey Cruz?
Oh my God. Wow, good reference.
Wow, you really dated me on that.
Yeah, young. I'm trying to
get
make
down.
You, I'm trying to way young
down.
You up.
She's way younger than you, Pete.
I want to say who you actually went to school with, who is Tom Cruise.
To answer your question, I think swimmers are sought after, right? Like, they've got to be.
I don't think so.
Lean, tight little hot bodies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, wow. But there's something about in my college, all the swimmers were like, everyone's like, oh, the swimmers, they're a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, that's what people said in my school. That's exactly what.
So I thought it was funny that this episode, it was like he was like the quarterback of the swimming team. Like, oh, look at this swimmer.
Well, I will say, I don't know if you guys have seen a movie called Swim Fan, but in that movie, there is a woman played by Erica Christensen who is a fan of a swimmer.
Wow.
Big fan.
That's all the evidence I need.
I did like the Roz kind of moment with Sabrina. Where Roz was like, hey, why'd you pass up the swim dude? Like, you're single. Go get it.
I was like, Roz, get out of Sabrina's business. Plus, she wasn't really nice. She wasn't being her friend. She was like, yo, Sabrina, go fuck that dude. I'm fucking your boyfriend. Go get with that guy. I was like, Roz, it's not
I
nice.
I like Lucas, though. I'm on Roz's side because Sabrina made the weird decision to go out with both Carl and Melvin, even though clearly neither of them are any good for her and they're no fun and she had terrible dates. And I guess I probably turned her off of the whole dating thing, but Lucas is good and he is fun and is a legitimate, like, they clearly cast him because he looks and acts half Harvey Kinkle, half Nick Scratch. Like, that is what he is. He's supposed to be Candleboy in name only. And she pushes him away. Well, it doesn't exactly push him away. I guess squids push him away and stuff like that.
She aggressively kisses him.
When you've got an octopus tongue, that's a little bit of a turn-off.
But I liked him, and I think Roz is right. Like, she has to go for it. She can't just sit there in a funk all the time. She needs to go for a third option. It can't be all Nubrina or Hubrina. It's got to be Labrina.
Wow.
What?
A whole bunch of nonsense.
What? I'm just saying, I thought it was weird how Roz was aggressive and seemed like, hey, go do this. I don't know. I don't talk to you much. I just kiss Harvey two desks away from you.
There's a lot of kissing in class. I mean, I guess I never knew that because we did not have that at my high school either. Like pools, Pete.
That was one thing that my country high school did have a lot of, is kissing.
Were you the quarterback?
I was the quarterback of the kissing team.
Nice.
For a second, when you said that, I thought you meant girls. Like you went to an all dude school or something.
Where'd you go? The school from the Robin Williams movie? I'm forgetting the name of right now. Oh, where they say, oh, Captain, my Captain? Dead Poet Society.
Dead Poet Society, there yes.
Great movie. Not Robin Williams fan.
Yeah.
He's God, I wish I knew more about his movie.
It's too bad you don't.
So we get into this Roz storyline with Mambo Marie. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we think about this?
Go ahead, Pete.
It was almost a little bit forced on her, which was a little upsetting. It didn't feel like, hey, listen, you've got this thing. It was cool. It was kind of like, hey, you're this. This is what it is. Here's the person you trust telling you, okay, cool, let's go. You know?
I did like the explanation of it. I mean, yes. Even if we're headed to a similar path with Harvey and Roz that we were with Harvey and Sabrina, the idea that at some point, I don't know if this was the original plan, but at some point in the writer's room, somebody said, if she has psychic powers and could see the future, could read people and do all these things, she's a witch, right? Yeah. So them coming out and saying that and then having a legitimate explanation for back in the day, they were God-fearing Christians. They couldn't say that they were witches. It makes a lot of sense, and it makes sense for the history of the show, but also the history of America.
Wow. Cool. Nice. This will be a great section to add to your TED Talk.
I think so. So far, it's 3 seconds long.
It's a good starting point, is all I'm saying.
So then,
I agree. If you're doing a witch show, and it's like, who should we have this character be a transformer or another witch? It's like, let's go with witch.
Yeah. So then we have Caliban, which I'm glad.
Wait, before we get to that, I did want to talk about the plot line with Bumblebee, who I am starting to think is a transformer. Yes.
You know, I didn't notice it, but he's much bigger than the rest of the other characters.
Who are you shipping Bumblebee with?
Oh my God.
Pete, you know, you love Bumblebee.
I'm not playing this game. So Caliban.
But that'd be one of your dreams come true if a car just turned into a robot in this show. You'd love that.
I would love that.
See? We're just trying to make you happy, Pete, with talking about Bumble being a friend.
What would be the best part? Would the best part be that your car turned into a robot, or if the car turned into a robot, could talk and said, I love you, Pete?
The best part is if it made the transforming noise from the cartoon where it was like,
yeah,
that would be the best part.
I would love it if the car turned into a robot and they said, look this, another witch has entered the coven.
You've saved the coven, Megatron.
Oh, boy.
All things are possible.
What were you going to talk about, Pete, the next plot line?
Yeah, so Caliban is like, hey, nobody's looking at me down here in hell. I might as well do some fucked up shit, which I'm glad we finally know, because like Sabrina was like, no, Caliban was just rude to you, evil twin. He loves me. But now we know Caliban is fooling Morningstar, so he is up to, is evil and is not.
I don't know if he's fooling her necessarily. I think she's aware of who he is, and this is what...
You think she was aware of that baby plan?
I think she's aware of what hell is like.
Yeah, but I don't think she's aware of what he's doing. He's doing some crazy shit on the side.
It's a little, but I agree. I don't know if he's going to become a big villain. I think he's just, in a very Shakespearean way, just doing little things to help solidify his power. This storyline clearly setting stuff up for the future, but it was a funny thing to have going on at the same time in this episode. And it happened fast. Like, Lilith, like, gets, like, mega pregnant right away. The scene with all the witches in the Hecate Coven, like, taking her pain and stuff was great, wow. I thought. It was so yeah, well it was, done.
Yeah, that was my favorite scene of the episode. It's really amazing.
It was one of the witchiest scenes the show's done in all of its seasons.
I mean, I think the ostensible reason was that both her and Sabrina had things inside of them that they wanted out. You know, that was sort of the thematic thing.
Interesting.
Squid baby.
Going on there. To your point, though, it did feel very separate in terms of the action. And it did feel like it's setting up things coming down the road. But yeah, it was worth it for that scene of everybody taking her pain alone, which is which where
which which.
I'm stuck on a word. That's where the show excels, I think. We've talked about that a lot with previous episodes of the show, but when it really leans into that feminist angle for the coven, the show is at its strongest, and that's exactly what happened here.
And I think this is a case of showing, not telling. They just did it, which I thought was great. So, because I feel like in the first two episodes of the season, they had to really do a lot of reminding, like, so this is Hecate. The thing with Hecate is there's maiden, the mother, and the crone, like really walking us through it. And now to just be able to, like, boom, see those roles happening here is great.
And, I just want to mention very quickly the other moves that happen in the plot line, since we're talking about this anyway. So the Hell Demons attack. Two of them end up dead. At least one of them does. Beelzebub is certainly in bad shape by the end. Going back to Caliban, he says that this isn't over. And Lilith gets invited to stay. And not only that, but her baby, Adam, seems to be a biter, even at this young age.
Yes. But I wanted to back up the truck real quick.
Absolutely.
Auntie Z had a real nice moment when the two kings, like, rolled up and she was, like, not having it. She's like, take your gifts and shove it. Get the heck out of here. And then I like when she stepped out and was like, I think we have a problem. Yeah, that was really badass.
It was a badass. This whole plot line was pretty badass.
What do you think's going on with Adam? What's his deal?
The baby?
Yeah.
Oh, probably a lot of pee-pee and poo-poo, a little wah-wah.
Oh, my God.
This can't be a normal baby.
Yes. And, you mean, like, what's his storyline? What's his meaning in the story?
Yes, in the plot.
I thought you were talking about, like, character motivation, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of
That's
just milk.
That's what the baby kept asking on set.
Probably, like, breast
motivation?
Mostly breast milk.
What help? What's my motivation? Breast
What's
milk?
My backstory? Tell me backstory.
I feel like it's going to be a means of driving Sabrina Morningstar back to Sabrina. Like, I feel like we started the season with, like, Sabrina Morningstar is very happy. She has everything that our Sabrina wants. And I think this Adam is going to tilt those scales. Everything's going to blow up in hell. And they're going to have to simultaneously defeat the final Eldritch Terror, the Void, at the same time fixing hell.
Yeah. I like the theory. Let's talk. We kind of skipped over this a little bit. I know we talked about it, but there's a bunch of weird dreams in the episode or potential dream sequences. I'll tell you. In the dream that Sabrina has of swimming with Lucas,
where
there's a shot right before she wakes up where octopus tentacles wrap around her. I wish there was a little more of that in the episode because it was
You're
very
into
silly.
Tentacle porn?
What?
You're into tentacle porn? Is that what you just said?
I love it. I love hentai. You should head to my site to alexloveshentai.edu. It's a school.
Edu.
Ooh. Congrats. Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Great
We're accredited. It's very scary. That's a scary shot, and the way that they edit it is very scary. I know that stuff is tough to do, but a lot of the things with the octopus, like, it was gross when it was in her stomach when, Ambrose was doing the wand operation.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about that?
Absolutely. So Ambrose tries to get it out of her a couple of different ways. The first way that he tries, after doing a magical CAT scan on her.
That was just... I mean, that was a little cheesy. I'll give it to you, but it was cool. I liked the way it played out. They commit so hard. Like, they commit to the bit on the show, like, very, like, only maybe Riverdale commits hard to bits.
Rolled out the, like, packing paper like it was, like, oh, that was hysterical. And also, Ambrose, like, as a character, had a really funny moment where it was like, you got to be careful, this will make you go blind, and then, like, does the flash and kind of does, like, a couple blinks, like, ooh. It was really funny.
So talking about octopus weirdness, though, we also skipped over the makeout scene, which I thought was creepy in the right way, where yes. It turns out Sabrina has a tentacle for a mouth.
Tentacle tongue.
You got a bad case of tentacle tongue. She also has ink stigmata going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So that's fun. But they figure out, since they can't actually take out the octopus, what they're going to do is they're going to dry it out. So Nick and Ambrose call in Sycorax, the water witch. And this was a fun effect, just pulling all the water out of Sabrina, having a tank filling up in the back.
Yeah, that was cool.
Like you're saying, Justin, cheesy, but in the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do it because they do it quickly. It accomplishes they set sort of a ridiculous goal and then they accomplish it quickly. Sabrina's getting weird. You got to get the weird out, and they get the weird out.
Yeah, what was fun was they kept, like, the little photo of, like, it was, like, this kind of weird wand photo of her body's organs. And, like, the way the squid was drawn each time was artistically cool and creepy at the same time. It was really impressive, the kind of, like, monster kind of makeup and effects that we had in this episode. Like, it could have easily been too cheesy or too weird. Like, they really did a great job of walking that balance, I think.
Do you know how they did it, actually, is they had Harvey fuck a squid very quickly jot it down in his sleep. That's how the CAT scan thing works.
Wow.
Like all great artists, Harvey wakes up in the morning and says, what am I fucking today?
You're the worst.
He's a genius. I mean, here's a good point to talk about. So we saw the scene where Sabrina's not feeling well at school when she has to. She's going to cut the squid open and her weirded up body rejects it. Harvey's like, I'll drive her home. And Sabrina's like, yo, chill, dude. Which that was the first time we've seen Harvey try to get in her business this season. And then here with Sycorax, Nick Scratch is there. And he's like, I'm here to help you. And then at the end of the episode, we get this great scene where they're singing the song together.
They're singing to each other, even though Nick is singing the part of the Hitler kid, which, you know, you can tell Nick's still the
bad guy. Are you correct about that? I don't think that's correct, Pete.
Yeah, it is correct.
All right, BFA. Okay. Let's hear it.
Go ahead. Hit us with a little sound of music, buddy.
No, I am not going to go ahead. But I'm just saying the Nick Scratch stuff was touching. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like Nick Scratch, but I was still moved by him mm-hmm. when he was busting out the willingness to sing to her.
Well, more to your point, Justin, I think the door is open for both of them, right? Like, we got this joint option with Lucas, who ran away to Riverdale High, and instead...
Smart choice. So much less weird over there.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to die in a second.
He's going to be like, all the tongues over here are weird, too.
But the door is kind of open with Nick now, clearly. Like, they've made a connection again, whatever is going on with him and Prudence. And then on the other end of the spectrum with Harvey, now that he has this Roz bomb that's about to drop at some point, that seems like that potentially could break them up and drive Harvey back towards Sabrina as well. We might be right back in the triangle.
All right. We got a bad boy alert coming up strong.
Absolutely.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Pete, you know what I'm talking about with the bad boy alert? I'm talking about you got to itch that Nick scratch. There's a scratch on my body that I got to touch, and it's right there, right next to my Nick tattoo.
You're a total Nickhead.
I'm a Nickhead.
That's really gross.
If it's not clear, I'm a real Nickhead.
You are.
I was born a Nickhead. I'm still a Nickhead.
And I'll die a Nickhead, and especially if he doesn't get with Sabrina. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
Because Nickheads are Nickheads for life.
Oh, my God.
When you're a dick all the way.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's that Hitler character, right?
Right, he's a Hitler character from West Side Story. Every musical has one. It's real weird.
That's
I was just
true.
Watching
that's
The Prom on Netflix. I don't know why they had a Hitler character. But
Oh, my God.
He got to go to prom.
That was his dream. He was a frustrated painter and a jilted prom date.
I did like the kind of repeating pattern of like, okay, this time we're going to use a rot witch, and then she's going to focus on your brain to get the monster out. So that was kind of a fun pattern they had.
What do you think, deciding which, like a doctor decides which discipline to go into, well, who do you think's like, I'm going to focus on rot. I'm going to be a rot witch.
I mean, it sounds cool when you say it like that.
Yeah, I'm a rat witch. That sounds like a decision you make when you're into like some like hardcore music. You're like, I love rot, rot witch. And then a couple years later, you're like, oh, I got all these rot tattoos. I regret them now that I'm in banking.
Yeah. Hey, can I turn these tattoos into like, I don't know, a couple of flowers or something like that? Is that possible? Yeah. Just get all lasered off. Is there a laser witch around here?
Oh, man.
Bumblebee comes in and is like, I'm a laser witch.
Really set yourself up nice for that one.
Thanks, Pete. Good. Very good.
I did want to mention a quick moment. We talked about the Roz storyline already, but by the end, Roz is a seer working with Mambo Marie and Prudence to kind of monitor the universe.
That was hilarious.
Pretty cool, but there's a very fun moment when Roz comes into the school and Prudence is like, do I know you? And who are you? Like, we've met five times.
Yeah. She starts listing them. I was like, Roz goes hard when she is getting ignored.
Yeah, that was fun.
Classic Prudence. This is a good setup for Roz. I like this, and this is a good new set, actually, as well. I think this is fun.
I agree. It's interesting. And they even say, like, she's joining the squad. They're the new weird sisters. How did you feel about this Dorcas erasure?
Yeah, that was – I was glad that even in the beginning we got the credits still with Dorcas, so I'm glad we're keeping it real there. But I was a little like the new weird sisters.
No, she's not in the credits anymore. Agatha is in the credits.
No. Yeah, but you still see a picture of Dorcas, though.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Yes.
I know. Okay. All my favorite characters only exist in the credit sequences of my favorite shows. That's what I love about shows. Like, if I was a big fan of Knight Rider and you just see the car in the credits, no car.
This is 100% no joking, no bits whatsoever. When they said we're into the new Weird Sisters, I was actually upset.
I was very upset. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, Alex is going to be
And then
pissed.
I was like, oh, maybe it's not real. But then when they linked pinkies, I was like, oh, that just sealed it.
Yeah, I understand as an intellectual person for Prudence, it's good for moving forward. Both of our other sisters are gone. But I feel bad for Agatha, and most of all, I feel bad for Dorcas.
Well, don't feel bad for Agatha. Agatha's like, she's nasty. She's like on the dark side.
She is.
But that's not entirely her fault. She was driven crazy.
Yeah, I guess. And then Dorcas, which, again, I know we use this name a lot. Was that a character on this show? I'm so sorry.
How dare you? We had a whole segment dedicated to the Dorcas.
This started because I said to you guys, do you want to do a Dorcas podcast? Yes. And then it became something else.
Yeah, we've really gone away from our roots here. I love these new weird sisters, and there's no Dorcas in the mix here. Boo. Who's the Dorcas of this new weird sisters Boo. Group?
That you can't say that. You can't. Don't
the breakout star, the character find of 2020.
Yeah,
man, gotta say Mambo Marie.
Yeah, got it.
I gotta say though, in this new iteration of the weird sisters, I think Prudence is the Dorcas.
I actually think that's kind of fair. We're being honest. Yeah, it's weird. I gotta see how they work
together.
I feel
like Roz is the Dorcas just because Prudence is like, no, you're not as cool as I am.
No, but Roz is gonna be the Prudence because she's like gonna be the one who we're gonna follow. Mambo Marie is sort of like a little bit, you don't quite know what she's doing, very Agatha. And then Prudence, much like Dorcas, just vanishes and could be played by a fern or a potted plant.
How dare you? How dare you, sir? How dare you?
I do hope it's more than that because Prudence is great and deserves to have a really good plot line this season. We haven't seen too much of her other than being back on her snarky Prudence-ness. So hopefully this means good things for her going forward. at the end of the episode, after the Rot Witch goes to work on Sabrina, they take the spirit of the weird, put it in an actual octopus, freeze it in a tank. So at this point, to kind of keep track of everything, we have the darkness trapped in a big light bulb. We have the uninvited trapped in a dollhouse. Right. And we have the weird trapped in a fish tank.
Right.
So all this stuff has to be setting something up, right?
Well, what's sweet is when witches have yard sales and they like put stuff out, you can get some great deals on some amazing things.
Yeah. I exclusively get my light bulbs at garage sales. I just find that they're like very close to breaking, which is how I love my light bulbs. But I agree with a lot of dangerous objects here, to your point, Alex.
And then at the very end, we get the teaser from Blackwood. He says the weird clearly has not done his thing. He is gone, but that's fine because next up is the perverse and it's going to be Father Blackwood's time. And then we get the...
That was a fun ending, but so creepy the way he's like, next is my favorite, the perverse. I was like, oh, fuck, dude. No.
No, it's good.
I don't think I'm ready for that app.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. And the perverse is just going to be Alex Albin, our venerable podcast host.
Yeah, I didn't want to spoil that the next episode is just a live cam of me. None of the regular characters appear, except Dorcas.
Except you and Dorcas. That's fun.
Oh, did we talk about Candle Boy gets goes down the drain?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, I know. But is this going to come back?
It should, right?
We mourned the loss of Candle Boy / Carrot Boy as the water drained out and bits and pieces of him went down the drain. You can't come back from that.
As long as a little bit of his twigs and berries survives, they can make another Candle Boy.
Let me be honest. I think that drain's going to be clogged with that growing ween for quite some time.
Just in general, I would say don't flush a candle. That seems like a terrible idea.
Bad choice. Bad choice.
Yeah. But do you think he's going to be back, Justin?
I don't know. The like we talked about earlier, this whole episode was a little bit weird in that the Candle Boy plot and Lucas and all that, it felt like I don't know what to make of it by the end of it. Maybe it comes down to the line that the weird says to Sabrina that she's an empty vessel and she needs, like she says, she needs to take time to figure out herself. But if they went to all the work of being like, let's create this mid-form between Nick Scratch and Harvey Kinkle, like, that's a valuable character. I would want to at least see that once. We never got to see it.
Yeah, again, it comes back to the Lucas of it all, where that's essentially what he was. But the fact that it was a twist and he was neither the weird nor Candle Boy and left at the end of the episode, seemingly permanently, says to me we're probably not going to see it back. But that, to your point, that feels like a little bit of a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, I would have loved Lucas to be one of the two or something and then stuck around and then we would have to deal with that in some way. But I guess not.
And plus we've got, Sabrina Morningstar has her clay man. It would make sense that our Sabrina had her little wax man.
Yeah. Everybody's got their own, made man. Hey.
Wow.
Before we wrap up here, which reigns supreme? Pete?
Oh, wow. I want to say Theo, you know, but...
Interesting.
Yeah, I got to go with Roz, even though her third eye really freaked me out.
You liked it.
I was impressed with her handling of the new news and then being able to join the Pinky Club and be like, okay, I guess we're just going to hang out in this room and this will be kind of like our watchtower or whatever and just kind of like look over the three realms and we'll just all live in this room together.
What about you, Justin?
I'm going to give it up to Ambrose in this episode. I feel like this episode, we really got to see what his role this season will be, where he's going to be like almost the MacGyver or the one who's like, he's in the middle, always like setting up the situation acting surprised when it happens, and then providing like four different techniques on how he helps Sabrina solve the problem. And it's fun. It's all interesting little bits. I hope he gets more personality in it as it goes on, but I like this role.
For me, I think it's probably going to be the character that I felt like grew the most in this episode, which was Candle Boy. Yeah. Got such a big heart, and just the shape of the character, heart? The way that it changed.
You said big heart?
Maybe. changed over the course of the episode was great. I could wax on forever about Candle Boy.
I would like to give Auntie Z a shout out just because she was a powerhouse in this episode and very enjoyable.
Yeah. Great. Great. Really good stuff. I got to say, Alex, that was the most wicked choice you could have made. Oh,
Before we flame out here, a couple of things to plug. You can support us at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. We don't have Chilling Adventures of Sabrina social media networks, but we do have Riverdale.
We're launching a network of social media.
Yeah, it's like Parler, but talking about Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. At Riverdale After on Twitter, Riverdale Dark on Instagram, at Riverdale After Dark on Facebook. Check all of those out and follow us there. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and more. Until next time, we've been the Chilling Podcast of Sabrina.
Sure.
Yes, we can, Bill. Boy.
I didn't have a joke there.
Yeah. You know what they say, if you don't have a joke, just calmly say goodbye.